Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
And that is sweet. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Kevin Carr.
And this is It's Movie Time, the seventh Minion movie. Is that right?
I think it's the third Minions movie.
Right.
But it's like the seventh Despicable Me movie. Aren't there four of them already?
Yeah, right. That's right.
Yeah.
16 years at this point.
Which is actually, that's kind of full throttle for animated films because it takes so long to put these together.
Only competition would be Toy Story, right? With Pixar? What do you think?
In terms of just in the general marketplace, Pixar is the one to beat usually. Pixar used to be like, you couldn't touch it. And now you're getting Pixar movies that don't do as well. You had a string of like poorly received Pixar movies.
Minions and Monsters. We'll talk about Illumination a little bit later.
Okay.
At least their long list of movies.
Yeah.
Minions. Okay, so they're these little pill-shaped, colorful.
These little yellow nuggets in overalls.
These nuggets causing trouble all over the place. Kevin, as 16 years, I mean, I liked Despicable Me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, these minions creep in. What is it?
Well, I first of all, you either like the Minions or you don't. Okay. I don't think there's a gray area. There's not a whole lot of people that are like, oh, nah, they're okay. Either people love them or they don't want to spend any time watching a Minions thing. And you got to know that because if you're one of the latter, don't go see this movie because you'll hate it. It'll be the worst 90 minutes of your life. But if you like it, it's exactly what the Minions are. They're these little agents of chaos that, since the beginning of time, have wanted to serve a despicable master. And they're always on the look for him. And so this one is, again, one of those stories about them looking for the most despicable person.
So they're really annoying. Or adorable. And I love their snarky little comments.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just can't beat them, but you can't get them all. You're going to lose some because they're so fast.
There's a lot going on in these.
Yeah. You shouldn't be upset that you've missed it. I'm a word guy.
Yeah.
And I have to adjust myself to the fact that I can't get them all. But I love the way, and it is the director who does the voice.
Yeah, Pierre Coffin.
Yeah.
I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah. So he does the voices.
He does the voice for all of them.
I know, for all of them.
It's got to be like weeks in the recording studio for him, which is it's his own cross to bear, I guess.
They're literally spitting out this little invective, too small and apparently too young to really be able to do what they do, but they do, and that's the thing that I love about it. It's really adult kind of snark with little creatures.
Well, they're older. They're even older than you because they've been around since the dawn of time.
Right. And so on this one now, they're at the beginning of Hollywood.
Well, yeah, because they look for the most despicable master, and who else is more despicable than old Hollywood studio bosses?
Right. Jeff Bridges is the two.
Yeah, he plays both of them.
He plays two of these moguls.
They're sort of a throwback to Louis Mayer or the original Warner Brothers. That's the whole thing. They're the fat cats. Because it's during the Depression. It's right around the Three Stooges era.
Yeah.
The early Three Stooges. And they're coming into talkies is the whole thing, right?
Yeah, right. And don't you think also it's... It's that they do such a good job with slapstick.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's the point. And like the whole thing is they become movie stars because they're insane and they can do all their own stunts. And then they start putting them into like the Minions version of things, like movies. Like they have the whole thing for Citizen Kane, and he has the snow globe, and instead of saying Rosebud, he's poop. And I'm like, if you don't find that funny, do not see these movies. But I find that hilarious. I love the little Minions.
Yeah, they run through a bunch of them. The Chaplain, right?
Yeah.
I think they're even inside the Lloyd's clock.
What was that? What's that one? Safety Last is, I think, the famous Lloyd's clock one. I mean, yeah, so no, they're very funny, and they speak Minionese, which is a mixture of English, French, Spanish, and a couple of the languages thrown in, just nonsense words. And it's so funny because if you know any of the other languages, you're like recognizing and you're like, wait, what the heck? And sometimes they'll say something in full Spanish. Like they call the movie Minions y Monstruos or something like that. So they But yeah, it's absolute gibberish. But that's what's funny.
And now and then a word or two that you know, mm-hmm. and you get an idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so there's something that's very childlike about them, but something yeah. that's very adult. I love the two. The comments are too sophisticated, but these little kids,
yeah.
like kids, are just absolutely armed with invective, and yeah. and at the same time they're loving.
Well, yeah, they're sweet little creatures, and even the ones that are mean, because there's one guy who's the leader that nobody likes in their group, and. Nobody likes him, but he's not like dastardly. He's kind of like the manager you didn't like when you worked in high school somewhere. He just took his job too seriously. You're right. There's stuff in there, and this is the key to animation: doing something that kids are going to find funny, slapstick, poop jokes, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But then having a level of things that are jokes that kids aren't going to get. Kids have no idea who Harold Lloyd is. But when they do that visual reference, I was like, that's clever. And they didn't spend time explaying it either. They just drive by the clock with the guy hanging from there.
Right. They move it rapidly mm-hmm. so that you can't think about, well, how come I don't know what that is?
Yeah.
You just keep going. And because I love their language and mm-hmm. I love the way they talk, it's just pleasing, even if you don't get the references.
Yeah.
And you get most of the references. I get some of them. But they're famous.
Yeah.
And even when they did Citizen Kane, I almost died. I said, what nerve. Yeah. They are.
Like, they're held up as the greatest film of all time. And that's the key. And I can't imagine how many times I think it's Pierre Coffin, how many times he's asked in the public to do, he's probably very happy nobody recognizes him, because he would be doing minion voices for people's voicemail all the time.
That's right.
It's clever. And it shows that there's some thought behind it, even though it's just a big, chaotic, slapsticky mess.
And there's also something ingenious about their bookends, which is they're in a museum.
Yeah.
And Allison Janney's voice is...
Yeah, has she been in these before? Because I want to say, because she does a lot of voice work, and I'm like, I thought she was in another one of these movies. Because Sandra Bullock was the bad guy in one of them.
Oh, sure. All right, yeah. Now, Kev, what happened to me in the latter half of that movie? I just kind of zoned out.
You can zone out with that level of zaniness.
But, Kev, as far as the ingenious first half, then I'm thinking I lost something along the way. There's still that brilliance, but something in the plot?
Because the thing is, just in general, comedy can work in small chunks.
Yeah.
If you get too much of it, it can wear on you.
Yeah.
And with the minions who can't speak recognizable language and who don't really have depth of character, you know, they're just goofy. It's hard to tell a story. And they do their best to do that, but I think that's where the Minions movie struggled. I think it's funny going back to the old Hollywood and how similar they are to Three Stooges or Harold Lloyd or Laurel and Hardy. Their best work is always going to be remembered as their short films. You know, if I say to you, name a Laurel and Hardy movie outside of Flying Deuces, it's going to be hard to come up with one. Mm-hmm. Same thing for Three Stooges, and they did dozens of them. But you can say, name a bit that they did, and you're going to have a whole list of things that they've done. And that's the challenge in going for just sort of comic relief for 20 minutes.
Right, right.
And then giving a story with characters and an arc that follow once you're finished with your popcorn.
See, I just didn't find anything in that latter part where they're searching for monsters, right?
Yeah.
And they find some blobby monster.
It looked like a baby Cthulhu that they found, voiced by Trey Parker, I believe.
That's right. That's
from
right,
South
yeah.
Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and so there was a thing there, but I mean, I admit too, I may have dozed at a certain point.
Yeah.
So it is trying to keep the coherent story. It's that second act problems that all movies have, only it gets a spotlight put on it.
Yeah, right. And I think you made the point that I appreciate. It's so intense in the first part, it's almost impossible after the half to be even conscious.
Yeah.
And for them to try to have a serious narrative of some sort is probably a waste.
Well, like the second half, the first act conclusion is this giant train ride that goes from a train robbery. And they end up in old, and it is absolute madness. Just true. Carnage. From,
it's true.
And it's very funny, but then they're like, okay, we have to tell a story now. And then you get the Hollywood stuff, which is very funny. I get annoyed sometimes when Hollywood gets too introspective, because Hollywood loves movies about themselves.
Oh, yeah, they do, yeah.
But I think it worked. Again, like, just going off the whole thing of who's most despicable. Well, it's a Bond villain and studio bosses.
Well, Kevin, we're talking about Minions and monsters.
Yes.
And what do you advise for our audience?
If you like the Minions, go see it. It's very funny and very cute.
All right.
If you hate the Minions, just avoid it like the plague.
Adults and kids.
Oh, yeah. Meet people out in the wild, and they recognize you, and they're kind of like, oh, this is cool.
Wayne does that all the time. It just drives me crazy. Oh, we're on the radio, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But we were in Madrid.
Okay.
And he starts blasting off. I'm going, like, the young waiter had a phone, and this was 10 years ago.
Oh, did he pull up?
He pulled up the very show that we were both on. Free food and drink for 2 days.
Really?
Well, Europeans respect us.
Well, it's like Jerry Lewis, you know. The French didn't get the...
You're right.
We never got the comedy. We never got the genius of it.
That's right, right. Minions and Monsters, Kevin. Yes. What about this Illumination Studios? I'm interested because everybody knows about Pixar.
Yeah.
And everybody knows Disney and all that. But Illumination...
Illumination, originally, back when these full CGI movies started, Pixar, and still is, kind of the gold standard.
Uh-huh.
And they've had some flops over the last couple of years, but when they started, for the first 10, 15 years of that studio,
yes, right.
Nothing went bad.
Well, don't you think their Toy Story 5 is...
Well, Toy Story 5, yeah, it's going to be the top grossing Toy Story movie, probably by the time I'm done with
this
sentence.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good, but you're right in between...
Well, I mean, you had stumbles like Good Dinosaur and Brave were two that were not juggernauts. And then you had other things like Elio just did not do well.
Oh, yeah.
And Onward had struggled, but that was partly because of COVID. But they've had some flops. They've had some movies that have not done well. And even Hoppers, which was kind of coming back, at least did well. It was not at the level of Toy Story. That was Pixar. So they've struggled on a couple things. It used to be Pixar and DreamWorks were like the big... animation studios.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
DreamWorks had like Shrek and that stuff. I would say Illumination overtook DreamWorks as the biggest animation studio. It was Despicable Me and the Minions. That did well. But they also have stuff like The Secret Life of Pets, which did extremely well. And they've had stuff over the past. Like they did the original, Monsters vs. Aliens? That's where I thought the monsters were going to come from.
Well, I'll tell you one that I really like, which is kind of different, is Sing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Though,
2016,
that's a big one.
Don't you think?
Sing, I mean, and Sing 2, both of them.
Yeah. Very sophisticated. Very pleasing to adults.
It relied on you wanting to hear sort of the pop music. My issue with Sing is I felt it was more like Zootopia did American Idol. So it didn't feel as fresh to me. And I'm not a big jukebox musical fan. But that's all me. You know, it's a lot of these movies, and this is kind of the general thing for cinema as a whole. If you have something that you know it's going to be formulaic, lean into it. And you know, don't go see a movie like the Minions movies and be like, I hate the Minions, so 0 stars. And it's like, well, you hate the Minions.
Yeah, right. What about this for Illumination? In the last 3 years, and I admit that I haven't seen them, but the Super Mario stuff? Isn't
this? Oh, yeah. Is that's
Illumination.
Illumination
as well.
Yeah. And those are huge.
I know.
Both of the movies. A lot of that leans into nostalgia. And even though that wasn't Illumination, but like the Minecraft movie. If you can tap into something that gets people in their feels from what it was like when they were a kid, that works. And nostalgia's been around forever. I mean, The Sting was a nostalgia movie.
That's
Grease
true.
Was a... So the 70s had all their nostalgia for the 30s and 50s. But yeah, Illumination... nowadays does really well in there. As far as I understand, they're exclusively contracted with Universal. So Universal usually gets behind it. And although this latest Minion movie's struggling a bit, it's the lowest performing of all of the Despicable Me stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think it's just, you know, it's like you said in our original broadcast of this, you know, it can wear on you after a while.
It does. There's one character in Minions, I haven't been as positive about Minions as you have, but I think you're tying it into its history, and that makes real sense to me. Jesse Eisenberg doing this robot.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good...
I thought that was clever.
Yeah.
I thought it was, and it was also, that was another one that taps into things. If a kid's 6 or 8 years old, they have not seen The Day the Earth Stood Still. So they get all the gore jokes are lost.
Exactly, yes, yeah. that caught my attention right away because I knew who it was, that had a character with something going for it.
Yeah, he had growth and development, yeah, and, right. and there's an arc, and he can he's understandable. You understand everything he says.
Yeah.
And that's key.
and you mentioned
Cthulhu, yeah.
Cthulhu.
Little baby Cthulhu.
Yeah, and this
from H.P. Lovecraft's stuff.
Okay, all right. So named Gumi here.
Gumi, yeah.
Gumi, yeah. So this was, you said, Trey Parker's.
Trey Parker doing you know, the, you know, be careful when you conjure an actual monster from a set of spells, no matter how cute it is, it might have an ulterior agenda going
on. You're right. Well, you know, we mentioned the big rival here. For you, for Toy Story, what in Toy Story do you appreciate? What do you, you know, why is that the real monster?
Ironic about the latest Toy Story is them going up against tech.
Yes.
And Pixar is nothing but tech. Toy Story was tech in the 90s when it came out. So
you're right. You're so right.
You, at a certain point, the snake does eat its own tail, and it eventually gets to its own head. But I think a lot of it's the names involved. Not less Tim Allen, but much more Tom Hanks.
Yes, right.
Both of them very recognizable, and they stuck through it. You don't have somebody doing a voice version of Tim Allen. It's actually Tom Hanks and Tim Allen. And we're at the point now, Toy Story's what, 31 years old? Hmm. So there are people whose kids have had kids, and Toy Story has been persistent in their lives. And all you have to do is go into the kids department at a department store or into a toy store and see the impact, and that's where they make all the money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why people, it's persistent. It's not just a movie, but there's videos, there's everything pushed on Disney Plus. You got t-shirts, you got toys. My kids had a Buzz and Woody doll mm-hmm. when they were kids,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it's constantly showing up again. The other thing with Toy Story is Pixar, because they take their time. You have plenty of time for the need to go down.
Yes.
If you had a Toy Story movie every year, Toy Story would not be making $1 billion each movie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good point. And for me, Toy Story, the humanity, and I realize that's a pretty general thing to say, but it's humanity, that is, its toys talk like real people.
Well, that's been a goal of Pixar since they began. In fact, I think it was one of the first movie that it might have even been the original Toy Story. They retooled it. It had a little bit of mean-spiritedness, and they needed to make sure the human story was there, even though they're toys.
Yes,
you
right.
need to have that human quality.
Well,
and that's important.
I think it's ironic that you can barely understand the Minions,
mm-hmm.
but in Toy Story, every one of those, Woody and so on, you can understand every line that they're saying. They don't miss a beat, and yet there's something very warm, human, and real about them.
Well, but you know, here's the thing with the Minions. If you want to compare it to a Pixar character, look at Wall-E.
Yeah.
I mean, until he gets on the ship, the spaceship, there is almost zero dialogue.
It's true.
And I was at a junket with interviewing Andrew Stanton. And someone said to him, well, how do you make a movie about a character that doesn't talk? And Stanton just looks him dead in the eye and he goes, he talks. He talks all the time. You just don't know what you don't understand him, but you know what he's saying. And Pixar helped pioneer that by taking in a character that speaks in bursts of in clips and like R2-D2, and it's the most human character you're going to find in Pixar. So you don't need to understand the language. And that's also why the Despicable Me and the Minions movies do well internationally, because they translate well. You don't have to worry about language barriers.
That's a great point. I would have to say that I love the Despicable Me. I don't like the fact that Gru has become kinder.
Well, that's the problem. You have to have the growth of character. He's still despicable.
I know, and I just love that. And then all of a sudden, he's becoming a dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is two adults talking about cartoons, essentially.
Yeah.
We used to have characters chasing each other.
That's every cartoon.
Yeah, I know.
Tom and Jerry.
No. Oh, exactly, yeah. And the one Roadrunner.
Oh, yeah. I love the Roadrunner.
I know. I do. See, when I get mean stuff, and I love it. Uh-huh. And I think that that's because there's a mean spirit in every human being in some way or another. And this lets it out. And this allows us to laugh at it and ourselves.
Well, but let me bring up something about the... Did you mention the Roadrunner?
Yeah.
And those are so popular, but Warner Brothers, the Looney Tunes, when they were making them, they had rules that they followed. One of the first rules is that the Roadrunner never does anything mean to Wile E. Coyote. He may like wink and nod and avoid it, but the Roadrunner never takes revenge. He is just innocently trying to just live his life. And Wile E. Coyote can't win with the intent of killing and eating the Roadrunner. So they had this moral framework over just what amounts to silly 10-minute cartoons.
And then you move into Despicable Me and to Gru. Mm-hmm. And whom I love. All right, Kevin Carr.
Yeah.
This is enough. This is exhausting me as an adult.
Oh, if I had a nickel for every time somebody said that to me. This is enough.
Minions and Monsters.
Yeah.
What do you advise our audience?
Go see it if you love them.
All right, but what about adults?
Oh, I think you can go as an adult and still enjoy it. But again, realize you're getting, in essence, a Roadrunner cartoon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're getting an awful lot of slapstick, which works, considering it's going back into old Hollywood. Yep. Thematically, it works pretty well.
Yeah.
But they're so cute. Minions and Monsters.